You ever watch them old game shows from the 60s? They had a lapel mic that looked like this. So I just hang that around my neck like that. That's better, isn't it? Amen. We'll get that worked out in time for tonight. Who's preaching tonight? The Lord hasn't said yet. That's encouraging. Amen. You pray for them, all right? They get it worked out. All right. Take your Bible. Turn to Romans chapter 12. And like I said before, I'm very critical of certain movements, certain philosophies inside the church. You expect the world to be self-indulgent. That's what the world is. That's what it represents. It's all about me, 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 I, and this and that and the other. And you don't expect the church to be that way. When you come to the house of God, you can expect to hear what is the primary message of Bible Christianity, is that somebody did something for somebody else for their benefit without asking for anything in return. We do not have a ticket machine out here in the lobby of our church that you have to pay money to get a ticket so you can come in the house of God and receive grace. Somebody say amen. And if I ever catch these ushers hounding you when they pass the plate to you, come on. Okay? Well, we get somebody else. They wouldn't do that. Amen? And so, we expect that the primary message of Bible Christianity is sacrifice. Somebody did something for you. Listen to this now, because you could not do it on your own. You could not do it on your own. And so we're going through the book of Romans rather slowly, and I'm just kind of preaching through some ideas and some verses here in the book of Romans. And we ended up here at chapter 12. And I want us to, we're just going to primarily deal with verse 1, and we're going to go to some other places in the Bible. But I want us to read Romans 12, verse 1. I want us to read that together out loud. I believe in unified Bible reading. And we're all using the same Bible. Amen? So there shall be not any discrepancies in the Word of God this morning. And there's not confusion. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Read this out loud with me. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do you agree to that? Say amen. Amen. That is the word of God. Whether you agree with it or not, it stands, and it'll stand long past your when you're off the scene. Amen. It has been the word of God. It is the word of God. And it will always be the word of God. And the message today is about sacrifice. And I'm going to, God kind of laid some thoughts and ideas in my heart. And I will tell you this morning. There are things about you that are worth losing. There are things about you that are hard to give up, but they're worth losing. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the sunshine. I thank you, Lord, for the grace. The sun shining, Lord, through the pages of this Bible into my soul. Lord, Father, it's a pleasure for me to stand here and to give out the grace, Lord, that you've given to me. And Lord, I want to be a blessing to these people. Lord, I don't want to be a curse. I don't want to be a stone of stumbling. I don't want to be a fence, dear God. Lord, I want to be a blessing. And I pray, dear God, that your Spirit will work on the inside of us here today, Lord, what it is that I preach on the outside. And the two would be in agreement, God, in our souls, Lord. And we would say, this is the way of the Lord. Help us to walk in it. And Lord, Father, just bless this church and bless these people, Lord, that have come. You know what walk of life they're in. You know, Lord, where they stand with you. And I just pray, dear God, Lord, that you would just deal with our souls and help us, dear God. And Lord, if there's somebody here that's lost, God, they would be saved. They wouldn't have to go to hell forever. God, they could spend eternity in heaven, Lord, and it's free. And it's free to whoever asks. And I'm praying right now, God, that there's somebody, Lord, who's hearing my voice right now that's asking, God, I want to be saved. I don't want to go to hell when I die. Lord, I don't want to suffer eternity in damnation and torments. God, I want to be in heaven with you for all of eternity. And I pray, dear God, Lord, that you would hearken to that voice. That as they call unto you, God, knowing, Lord, that you're the only one that can save them. And Father, Lord, that you'd just hear from heaven. Lord, you'd forgive their sins. And they would be saved today. Lord, Father, it's just that simple. And I pray, dear God, Lord, that you would just bless today. Bless your word, we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Let me read this verse again here real quick. Get my bearings. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Let me just kind of back up a little bit. We've been talking in the book of Romans, especially Romans chapter 11, been talking about Israel and how God has taken the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, who are the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that literal bloodline, that literal seed, who we call the Jews now, the Israelites, or whatever you want to call them. God has taken them for the most part right now and has set them aside because of their own wickedness of their own heart. And God did that for two reasons. Number one, to judge them. And number two, to open the door of salvation to those of us sitting here today. Who in here is a Gentile? Raise your hand. You're not a Jew. Raise your hand. You're a Gentile. And God, Christ died to save your soul. Somebody say amen. So he opens that up to you. But you need to understand something, that now God is going to use us Gentiles in a similar fashion the way he used Israel in the Old Testament. How did he do that? Well, number one, they were the recipients of the oracles of God. And God had given clear commandment to them that when they received the word of God, that they were to keep it and they were to never change it. Somebody say amen. God never allowed the scribes to just write down what they thought God meant. Even though that is what they did from time to time, and it got them in a hole. By the time Jesus came on the scene, the Jews had stacks of laws upon top of the laws that God had given them, and they had defiled the and made the law of none effect to them. And in that kind of, you know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like the IRS. You know what they had done? They had built loopholes into the law of God. They built loopholes into that. They said, well, you know, Sabbath day, you're not supposed to work. So they built loopholes around that so they could get away with it. I'm going to tell you what, that's not right. Somebody say amen. You don't build loopholes into the law of God. You don't try to change God's law. And God had given Israel the law, and he said, don't change it, you keep it. He had given them the feast of Passover and the feast of weeks and the feast of tabernacles. And he said, don't change it and do this for perpetual generation. God had given them also, listen to this now, God had given them the priesthood. And I'm going to teach just for a few minutes this morning on what the priesthood was all about and what it represented. But God had given Israel in the Old Testament priesthood. Likewise now in today's church, if you're a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, and I'm not saying you're a philosophical Christian, there's a difference. You might say, well, I'm a Christian in that I'm not Jewish or I'm not a Buddhist or I'm not a Muslim or I'm not a Wiccan. You say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm not asking you if your philosophies are sort of in line with something you think Christ said. I'm asking you today, are you born again? Have you come to the place in your life where you recognize that you're a lost sinner, that you're worthless as dirt because that's what you're made out of? And there's no hope for you, not even in your good acts and your righteous deeds. There's no hope for you other than through the cross of Jesus Christ. And I'm asking you the question this morning, are you born again? Are you saved? And if you are, then there is that we are called to be priests in this day that we live in. There's still to be sacrifices made, and Christ was the example in that Christ is the high priest there in Jerusalem in the days that he came, being the high priest of God after the order of Melchizedek, did not sacrifice a lamb or a goat or a bull or anything like that upon any altar while he was here. He did not do that. The sacrifice that Jesus gave as the high priest of all of God's people was himself. Particularly his body. Okay? A lot of times we relegate sacrifice to, well, I put money in the offering plate. Boy, that really hurt. Well, it was a real sacrifice. Oh, it's kind of running tight this week, but, you know, I put $10 extra in just because and I'll be honest with you. Most people are leery when a pastor starts preaching about sacrifice because they're pretty sure that at some point he's going to mention, hey, we need more money around here. Am I telling the truth? And I'm not going to do that today. Okay? Because that's not what this verse says. He did not say, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bank account a sacrifice. That's not what it says. Follow the Bible. Amen. You won't go wrong. Amen. He said that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, that does not mean shoot yourself in the head. That does not mean commit suicide. Now, I will tell you this. There are times when people throughout history, let's say in warfare or in some incident somewhere where somebody gave their life, let's say it was a police officer or someone just on the scene, somebody pulls out a gun to rob somebody and somebody jumps in there and ends up getting themselves killed. There was a deal, what was it, up in St. Louis here a while back at a Starbucks coffee restaurant? And a guy grabbed the tip jar out of there and run off with it, and some good Samaritan went chasing after him to try to get it back, and he got held up by this guy's car and got drugged and run over and killed. Now that's a sacrifice, and I think as a society, I think we all honor people that will stand in the way and say, listen, we want our neighborhoods right, amen? That means turn in all the meth dealers you know about, amen? Turn them in, get them out of the neighborhood anyway. But sacrifice, being willing to be a sacrifice. But let me tell you what this is really all about, so I don't run out of time today. Let me tell you what this sacrifice and the whole Old Testament system was all about. Let's say that, who can I pick on here? Let's pick on David back here, okay? David back, he's smiling, so it means he's in a good mood, so it's okay, okay? David back here is a sinner. Would you all agree to that? Say amen. He's sitting in a group of sinners, amen? Okay, David back here is a sinner. We're going to go back to the Old Testament times. And David is a sinner, and David knows that his wife is a sinner, and David knows that his children and his grandchildren is a sinner, and he knows his mother-in-law is a sinner. He knows that everybody that's around him and his family is a sinner. Amen? Am I right so far? The law prescribes. Now watch this. I'm going to tell you how good God is. Let me tell you how good God is. The whole Old Testament sacrificial system was based upon the doctrine of substitutionary atonement. Let me explain what that means. Just when David sinned, or his wife sinned, or his children sinned, or whoever it was sinned, he was not required by the law to turn himself in and be slain by the priest on the altar there in the tabernacle. That's not what was required. What was required by the law was that David was to go through his flocks and get the county fair lamb. The one that when he was born, it had no spot or blemish on it. And he was going, you know what? That'll be a good one. That'll be a good lamb. We're not talking about the run of the litter either. We're talking about the best lamb that he had, or bullock or whatever it was, or goat. The best thing that he had. And he was to take that thing to the tabernacle and hand that over to the priest and say, this is for the sins of me and my family. That was a substitute, that because David had sinned, because his wife had sinned, because his family had sinned, David, by the law, was required to bring not himself as a sacrifice. He wasn't to be killed. He was to bring in a substitute. Something had to pay the price for his sin. Now, I want to listen. I'm preaching this, and I'm about ready to shout. And I don't know how happy you're getting at this, but I want to tell you something. If you have ever broke the law of God, and God didn't come down and kill you right then you are a living testimony of the substitutionary atonement doctrine. You're a living example of it. God had every right when you coveted. God had every right when you committed adultery. God had every right when you lied. God had every right when you stole. God had every right when you didn't show up for church service. God had every right when you worshiped everything that wasn't of God. God had every right to come down and bust you up and kill you and throw your soul in hell right then and there. Raise your hand, say amen. He had every right to do it, but he didn't do it. Why? Because God was even teaching Israel in the Old Testament the idea of a substitute in your place. And instead of David whining and complaining and throwing a fit and a spell because he's got to take the lamb that he was holding back for the county fair. He thought, surely this year I'm going to get the first prize, blue ribbon on this lamb. Instead of him whining and complaining all day long that he's got to give up a lamb, he ought to be thankful that he doesn't have to give up himself. Amen. And we sit around and we complain and we whine and we fuss and we moan about how, well, I don't want to go to church today. I don't want to pay tithes today. I don't want to read my Bible. We complain and complain like God owes us something and he doesn't. When the truth of it is, a substitute stood for you in your place. Somebody ought to shout every now and then. Listen, this is not a Pentecostal church, but it's okay to let loose every now and then. Amen. Let her go. Because of the fact, and listen, you're going to like how I preach this. The fact, and I'm going to preach it according to this verse right here. The fact that a substitute is made for your atonement. Now, in the Old Testament, it was a bull or a goat for the sinner instead of the sinner. It was, and I'll tell you how much God loves you. And I'll tell you how much God loves Jefferson County residents or even Fredericktown people. Amen? I'm just telling you, God loves you. Amen? If you were so poor that you didn't have a bull or a goat or even a lamb, God said, if all you have is just a little flour and a little bit of oil, bring that. And I'll accept that. That's good. Amen. And these people out there lying to you, telling you that if you're not rich, you're not right with God, they're lying through their teeth. They're lying through their teeth. So anyway, in the Old Testament, it was a bull or a goat for the sinner instead of the sinner. Now in the New Testament, listen to this now, it is Christ for the sinner instead of the sinner. It was Christ. Now, several years ago, we had a man preach behind his pulpit. I love him dearly. And he explained something to me better than any theologian I ever heard in Bible college. I'm going to read a verse, and you probably heard this verse before. Romans chapter 8, verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Now, I've heard a lot of sermons on that, and I've heard a lot of people say, well, that's God rooting for you. He's on your side. God is for you. Yay, Bradley. Rah, rah, sis, boom, bah, Bradley. Bradley, he's our man. If he can't do it, we'll have to get somebody else. Amen. We'll have to get Brady. Listen to this now. This Bible, the English in this Bible is perfect. Read the rest of it, because it'll tell you what it means when God is for you. Listen to this. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died, finish it, for us. Christ wasn't sitting up in heaven going, come on now, go to the cross. I'm with you all the way. I'm rooting for you. That's not what he did. He went. You had a sentence of death on you because you coveted, because you committed adultery, you lusted after another man's wife, you stole property, you lied about it. There was a sentence of death on you, and you were supposed to be slain for your sins. And Christ came in and said, no, 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 I love him. I will go and I will die in his place for him. Shout! Amen! Amen. So watch this, Romans 8, verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Did you hear that? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, listen to this, who also maketh intercession for us in our place. taken away our sins and our curse. Somebody say amen. Quit complaining that you had to get up and go to Sunday school. Amen. Quit complaining that it costs you money to pay tithes and give an offering every now and then. Quit complaining. At least you're not burning in hell. But the more I get wound up, the more this voice is just going out the door. Amen. I need somebody to come and preach for me. Because you're down there on my side saying, amen, amen. I might have to have you come up here and see. All right, everybody settle down now. Listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Listen to this. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. He was in our place, doing what we could not do. 2 Corinthians 5, for we have made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Galatians chapter 3, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Amen. Amen. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hanged on a tree. Don't you know that God wrote that law before Jesus died on the cross? God, knowing that his only begotten Son was going to go fulfill the law and hang on a tree and be a curse for you and me, so that we're not cursed anymore. Have you ever felt that way? Anybody ever felt like they were cursed? Anybody ever had those days where just everything went wrong? And you were so mad, you were so disgusted with yourself. And I'm not talking about what everybody else did. I'm talking about what you did. And Christ went like this, and he took all the curses away from us. Amen? Ephesians 5, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24, for Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. He is in our place. It's the doctrine of the substitutionary atonement. Someone else paid your bill. Someone else paid the fine. Someone else went and suffered loss so that you would not have to. Now, this is Mother's Day. There is nothing greater that shows the grace that's in mothers but sacrifice. Mothers will sacrifice themselves for you and in your place, and you ought to say amen to that. Especially when you grow up and be parents, you understand what it's all about. When you were growing up, every time you opened your mouth and every time you wanted something, mom and daddy, you thought mom and daddy ought to just fork it over. Hand over money. Hand over, do this and do that, do that. And when you grow up and you got to be parents and you found out that the money tree was a myth like Santa Claus and all that stuff. Amen. Then you found out the reason why they didn't open their wallet and just give you everything you wanted to. Somebody say amen. You found out the truth. Okay. That may not have set you free, but it was the truth anyway. Amen. But I'm just telling you, mothers and dads know all about sacrifice. Dad go out and work his guts out by the sweat of his face every day and buys stuff and builds the house only for the kids to tear it up. Yeah. Amen. Sacrifice. Now, that's the substitutionary atonement. Something had to be sacrificed in your place. Something had to suffer. Something had to die. Something had to have God's legal action taken against it in your place. They just tried and convicted this fellow over here in Illinois, this Chris Coleman, who worked for guess who? Okay? And I'm telling you something, for killing his wife and his two sons. He went in the bedroom with a cord while his sons were sleeping and strangled them to death in their sleep. I cannot fix that in my mind, how you do that. Right. your own children for the sake of, apparently according to the testimony, for the sake of a Jezebel down in Florida. That's bad. What if somebody stood up and said, I did it? Even though, let's say that he was guilty. And somebody, one of his friends came along and said, you know what? I'm going to take this for you. I'm going to take the heat. I'm going to take the blame. And if you get the death sentence, then I'll take it for you. Now that's hard for us to grasp, isn't it? That's what Christ did. He substituted himself, though he had done no wrong. He substituted himself in your place and died so that you could live. You need to get a hold of that. There's nothing more precious in the testimony of Christianity than the substitutionary atonement of Jesus Christ. And did you know that that doctrine is under attack by these new hip-hop churches? They're attacking it right and left. They say they cannot imagine in their mind how a God would be so cruel as to sacrifice his only son for somebody else. They've got it wrong. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet murderers and sinners and liars and adulterers and cheats and everything else, Christ died, how? For us. Now let's get back to Romans chapter 12. Now I'm going to start preaching my message. Won't take long. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your what? Bodies. What does a man consist of? Can somebody tell me, according to the Bible, there are three things. What is it? Spirit and soul and body. Which one of those is covered here in this verse? The body. Now, let me ask everybody who is over the age of 40 years old. I'm not asking you if you're in your 20s or your teens. Because when you're in your 20s and your teens, you love your body. Okay? When you get to a certain age, you're going. We're no longer in love with it. Amen? You know what God's showing us? He's showing us corruption. We were born to end up this way. Okay? And here's what I'm saying. My body, I'm getting to the point where I'm sick of it. I don't like how it looks. I don't like how it treats me. I don't like the aches and pains. I don't like sleeping with a sleep apnea mask every night so that I don't die in my sleep. I don't like that. I don't like being overweight. I don't like, Lisa hurt my feelings the other day. She said, you're thinning out right here. Yeah. I'm going to compare myself with him and say, thank you, Jesus. All right? Okay? I don't like the physical ailments. I didn't like having shoulder surgery on this one. I might have to have it done on this one. I don't like it. Okay? But aside from the aches and pains and this and that and the other of growing older, let me tell you what else I don't like. I don't like what these eyes have seen. I don't like what these ears have heard. I don't like what this mind has thought. And I don't like what this body has done. I hate it. I hate it. And I'm going to tell you something. God is not interested in preserving your body. He made it corrupt. Medical science right now is, I'm going to tell you something. They're this close to their version of immortality. This close. You can believe that or not. Listen, it's getting scary out there. Mankind is trying to make something live forever that God never intended for it to live forever. So in this verse, he did not say sacrifice your soul. He said, present your bodies a living sacrifice. And let me explain it to you this way. Hopefully this makes sense. Okay? In the Old Testament, it was a lamb that belonged to the sinner instead of the sinner. Yeah, does everybody follow that so far? In the New Testament, it is Christ for the sinner instead of the sinner himself. Does everybody understand that so far? Now look this. You have a spirit and a soul in a body. Okay? Which one of these are you willing to lose? The question for me is easy. I want to tell you something. Let me just read a few verses here real quick. Hebrews 10, but we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul, not the body, the soul. James 5:20, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. 1 Peter 2:11, dearly beloved, I beseech you, strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. My soul and my spirit are at odds with my body. And if you're asking me right now which one I'd gladly give up, I'd gladly give up my body. You follow me so far? That's my substitute. Listen to me. Rather than your soul burning in hell forever, you could just simply give up your body. Now you say, what's wrong with my body? Well, let me tell you this. I kind of went very quickly into the Old Testament sacrifices. And I'm not going to cover all of them, but some of them just kind of jumped out in my mind very quickly. The Bible talks about the blood of bulls and goats. There was calves, bulls, rams, and goats. And I'm just going to deal with them very quickly because in that, in themselves, they are types, they are figures, and they are pictures of what we have in us. A calf in the Bible, a calf represented a false god. When they were in the wilderness, what was it that they made? They made a calf out of there. What did they make it out of? They made it out of gold. Now listen to this now. Your mind and your eyes, they love shiny things. I like what Jeff, who was it? Jeff Foxworthy said rednecks love shiny things. Amen. And we do. We love shiny things. And you wave a little bit of gold in front of us, and boy, I'll tell you what, we'll go after that thing. That's wicked. That's not what God's made out of. Amen. God has nothing to do with that. And so anyway, calves it represents false gods. It represents what you worship as a replacement for Christ. And seeing then what Christ has done for us, why don't we give up all of our stupid calves and all of our stupid idols and all the things that we're following in this world and turn to Christ? Somebody say amen. Why don't we do that? Number two, listen to this. You're going to like this because there's some of you sitting here this morning. Bulls. You know what bulls represent in the Bible? Psalm 22, many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around about. Bulls represent personal strength, stubbornness, pride. What do we say to somebody that's stubborn and won't listen to anybody? What do we call them? Bullheaded. And that's how we are. Some of you sit in church Sunday after Sunday, listen to the preacher preach, and you sit there bullheaded. I ain't listening. I'll show you how tough I am. I haven't had this yet. Bless God. I got a pastor friend of old Brother Reg Kelly. He's rough. He'll preach. And listen, if you show him that you're angry while he's preaching, that's like holding red meat in front of a dog. Amen. And he's told me, he said, Mike, I've had him come over the pew at me while I was preaching. You know why? Because by and large, in our nature, we are bullheaded. We are stubborn. We're obnoxious. We're rude, and we don't like anybody telling us how we ought to live our lives. Yeah. And you may have sat in church listening to me preach or Brady or Bradley preach, and I'll tell you something. These guys are just trying to preach the Bible is all they're trying to do. And you sat there all, what do? We call it bulled up. I ain't listening to that. That's just pride. And who in here would let that come in the way of eternal life? Why would you do that? You know what a lot of it is? And I'll just, you know, you listen to these guys preach and they're none and I'll hit it. We get pretty hung up on our personal entertainments. We get pretty hung up about that. And every now and then it'll get preached on by me. That's some things you ought not be watching on TV. Some things you ought not be listening to on the radio. Some things you ought not be reading and setting before your eyes. Can I get an amen out of God's people? Some things that just you ought not be doing. And that stuff will be preached. And you know what you'll do? Instead of sacrificing, presenting your body as a living sacrifice and getting rid of it, you'll bull up like an old bull. Summertime comes around, and I can show you from the Bible two places that tells you that your thighs ought to be covered up. Two places. And you'll bull up. I like my shorts. I don't think there's nothing wrong with it. You're bullheaded. You're trying to be stronger. You're trying to outsmart God and his idea of how people ought to look. This is what you're trying to do. And you will not listen to that. And you might be sitting there mad at me today. Kill it. Kill it. Sacrifice that rascal. That's why God said, bring me a bull. Let's kill this thing. Let's get it out of you. You know what your best course in life is? Biblical submission to the Word of God. Amen. And don't bull up every time something is said from the pulpit that you don't like. Okay? And if you think I'm wrong, then you go to this Bible and say, God, you show me the truth. Right. And God will honor that. Right. And if I'm wrong in something I preach and you prayed on me, God will correct me. In fact, God will chastise me over that. And He has. He will. Get rid of some bulls. Rams. You know, rams were sacrificing in the Bible. You know, and this, some of this stuff's real easy. God designed this stuff. So when you picture two rams, what do you see them doing? You know what that is, and you know what that is in your life? It is a contentious spirit. Every time somebody opens their mouth to you, you put on the boxing gloves. Young people, listen to preacher. Listen to Preacher Mike this morning, young people. I've heard it. I've heard it out of kids, even my own. Every time mom and daddy says something, you grow these big old horns and you go, you're butting heads with mom and daddy. Your mom and daddy loves you and they're sacrificing for you and they're giving everything in the world for you is what your mom and daddy's doing. And they're trying to steer you in a right and a proper direction. Can I get an amen out of somebody? And for you to put on your horns and butt heads with your parents every time they get on you and tell you to do something, you're wicked. Kill that rascal. And I'll preach that to husbands and wives too. Just because your wife says something, and she may not sprinkle sugar all over the top of that, that does not mean she's wrong. Okay, ladies, likewise. You want to save your marriage? Sacrifice your rams. Don't sacrifice your marriage. Sacrifice the rams in your marriage. See how that works now? Isn't it better to be at friends and have peace in your home and peace with one another, even in the house of God? Isn't it better that way than sacrifice our whole church? And I guarantee you, you leave out of here mad, you're going to tell everybody in the world what you got mad about, and they will not darken the door of this church. And what I'm telling you is, it's far better for you to kill off the rams than it is to sacrifice your marriage, sacrifice your children, your relationships. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
I got one more and I'm done. Goats. What are goats known for? D? Huh? They stink. D's got goats. Amen? What do we know goats for? They're pets? That's not what I had in mind. Goats will eat just about anything. You know what goats to me represent? Appetites. Appetites. I'm not just talking about food, but food is part of that. If Philippians 3:19 says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame. You know who their God is? It's their belly. You know what that represents? The belly in the Bible represents the fleshly appetites. Because most of your desires are centered right in this area right here. Am I telling the truth? And goats represent the appetites of your flesh. The things that you just love to consume. Whether you're sucking down a Bud's Light, or a tequila, or a margarita, or a little wine, or you're sucking on a cancer stick, or you're putting so much food down in you, God had feast days, amen? It's okay to get around the table every now and then and just load up, but not every day. Did you know that food is a killer? God gave us food to sustain our bodies, and we abuse it just like we abuse everything else in this world. And the amount of food that we consume in this country is killing us. There's no doubt. You can look at me and tell I'm not a health food nut. But there is some common sense to this stuff, and all this stuff that we're throwing down in our bodies is not good for us. Can I get an amen out of somebody? Bulled up. I'm just telling you that represents our appetites. What about our lustful nature? Is that an appetite?
Yes.
Whoremongers, whores and whoremongers in the house of God cannot abstain from sin, cannot abstain from worldly appetite. They just can't do it. I want to tell you something. You listen to the preacher. If you didn't listen to anything else, you listen to the preacher. It is better for you to sacrifice that goat and get it out of your life than for you to burn in hell for it. He said, present your bodies. He didn't say sacrifice your soul. He didn't say, I did not preach anything about money or service in the church. I didn't say that one either. Oh, sacrifice your time. That is not what that says. I think it's time that you settle it in your mind that you need to get rid of some goats and some lambs and some bulls and some rams out of your life. Can I hear an amen out of somebody? It's better for you to leave that on the altar than for you to lose your soul over it. It's better. And God designed it that way. And I'm getting to an age in life, I'm realizing, Wayne, God's pretty smart. And I'd just soon let Him have this body today than to fear that I would live after my appetites and live after my bullheadedness and lose my own soul because I refuse to sacrifice my body. That's the preaching of the Word of God this morning. Would you stand to your feet? I'd like for you this morning to bow your heads. I'd like for you this morning to bow your heads. We haven't left yet. We haven't dismissed yet. Maybe it'll do you good today. Think about some old rams or some old bulls that you've got. And you know what? The thing about them was, these were to be the prizes of our lives. These are things that are hard to let go. Hard to let go. We look at that county fair goat and we say, you know what? That'll get me a lot of money. And yet God said, that's exactly one that I want you to bring. And I'm dealing with sensitive issues, maybe to some people here this morning. Sensitive in the sense that you've held on to some things in your life way too long. And they are the prize and pride of your life. Sin, sinful activities, philosophies, ideas. And I'm asking you, you're going to lose it anyway. You're going to lose it anyway. Your body is headed to the grave. It's better for you to go ahead and give it to the Lord and let it be a substitute rather than to lose your soul over it. It's better. And I'm going to ask you this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you this morning to get serious with God. I mean serious. Deathly serious. and say, God, whatever it is that I'm doing, Lord, whatever it is, wherever it needs to be sacrificed, God, give me the strength to hand it over. Give me the strength to hand it over. And I'm going to have a word of prayer. And I'm going to ask you this morning, if you wouldn't mind. We call these the altars. The altar is the cross, but these are representatives. When you come down here, this is what you're going to do. You're going to hand it over and say, God, here it is. Here's that old bull in my life. It's costing me my soul. God, I don't want that. Take it over, God. So I'm going to ask you to come.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God. And I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believed in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word, God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.